Good morning, everyone. How are you? My name is Sue Ellen, and I want to talk about my life. I had a very difficult childhood. My father was a workaholic. He was also an alcoholic, and I never knew when he would be violent and when he would be normal. When he would come home, the windows would rattle because his truck was so loud. I would stand up, look around, make sure that nothing was out of place, nothing would set him off. It wasn't uncommon to see my father take a bottle and break it and put it against my mother's neck. And sometimes my father started hitting me. Those were the moments that taught me I knew how to be a victim. I knew how to be scared. I knew how to be silent. And it wasn't until I got into Miss G's class that things started to change. So I took the lessons that I learned from Miss G and I learned from the other Freedom Riders. Those were the things that motivated me on the darkest nights.
This is Sue Ellen, speaking with a class of high school freshmen through a Freedom Rider video chat. Students often respond to her heartfelt story with expressions of love and sincere questions about how they can overcome their adversity. Sue Ellen credits the power of owning her story and learning to heal from her pain. As you know, this is a crucial theme in all of the Freedom Rider stories, how to use storytelling to overcome adversity and begin the healing process. 20 years after their transformative experiences in Room 203, the Freedom Riders are writing new stories for the 20th anniversary edition of the Freedom Riders Diary, and you and I have the privilege of witnessing their healing in real time. How do the Freedom Riders support each other through sensitive, painful experiences, and how can their examples of unconditional love bring more light to our lives and to the world? This is Freedom Rider 2020, a special mini-series on the Freedom Riders podcast celebrating 20 years of the Freedom Riders Diary. I'm your host, Bryce Sirier, and I'm honored to be a witness with you of the making of the 20th anniversary edition of the book, now available wherever books are sold. We'll hear from Aaron Gruel, the Freedom Riders, and even some of the Freedom Riders' children, following up on the stories from Wilson High School and shining a light on the Freedom Riders' legacy for a new generation. This is episode 4, Wounded Healers. Aaron, I'd love for you to talk about creating that safe space with the Freedom Riders. How did you go about doing that, both in Room 203 back then and again today in writing the 20 new stories?
I think what was amazing that happened in Room 203 with a lot of grit and determination was, how do we take all of those elements of the outside world that make you look over your shoulder, that make you feel like you have a bullseye on your chest, that make you anxious, that you may be a statistic, that you may be 6 feet under, and make you feel safe while you're in Room 203. So I had to model it. I had to create it. I had to make sure it was a hate-free zone. I had to be very present and very intentional to call people out if there was something that was said that was insidious or difficult or racist. I had to make sure there was no bullies. I had to make sure we put down our fist and picked up a pen instead. So all these years later, our office, the Freedom Riders Foundation, is a home where we can come and be ourselves. And so in writing the 20th anniversary edition and creating those new 20 stories, Freedom Riders had to be able to come into that beautiful space with their beautiful brains and their beautiful hearts and be vulnerable, to feel and feel deeply, to go back to some of those painful childhood memories and to realize we have to go backwards. We have to peel back a layer. We have to dig a little deeper, and we have to discuss. And through discussing and writing, we're here for you. Freedom Riders are able to be vulnerable and raw and exposed because of that love, that unconditional love, because of that trust, because of the feelings they have been able to create that when they have fallen, someone inevitably will pick them up, brush them off, and have them move forward. I think that was really important in that room, in all of its chaos and all of its glory, was the ability for family to grow and share.
I asked the Freedom Riders how they felt about the safe space they helped to create with Miss G, and what motivated them to share their stories despite the pain they knew they'd experience in the process.
If people are honest when they write something and they want to share their truth, if it's true, it can be very powerful, and it can also help somebody else to help them get through whatever they're going through.
once you are on a path to recovery, your past becomes your greatest asset, because now I can relate to so many other people that are in the position I was in, that feel that hopelessness, and I can show them, look, even if you're at your worst, it does get better. It doesn't happen immediately, but at least you have a life that you can be proud of. You can stand up with your head high today. You don't have to live in that shame. You don't have to live like that anymore.
You know, especially when you have kids of your own, it's important to learn from your past and to be able to teach them, because, you know, they're going to be going through the same things. If you're able to show that you've conquered that demon and that you've made it past this by facing your tragedy head on, that actually confronting it can cause you to want to change. It adds to the healing process. It's hard to move forward in life in love when all you feel is hate and hurt. So you gotta fix that, otherwise your heart will never mend. It's like you're running, but you're moving in slow motion. You're not going anywhere.
On this episode, we explore how hearts can mend, how healing can take place even after years of trauma, pain, and unresolved conflict. We see firsthand what's required to stop running in slow motion, as Ty just phrased it. How to overcome hate and hurt so we can all live in love. With humility and grace, the Freedom Riders allow us to walk with them through their healing experiences and learn from their examples. How did they come to open their hearts while writing the 20 new stories for the new edition of the book? What drove them to purge their pain once again on the page, just like they did in Room 203? And how can we apply these lessons in our lives to conquer our own demons? Can we carry on this legacy of healing and hope? All that after the break.
Hello, I'm Erin Gruel, and I'm so grateful for the generosity and support of Waldorf University, our proud sponsor of this exciting miniseries, Freedom Rider 2020. Not only is Waldorf's mission aligned with our student-centered methodology, the Freedom Riders and I are blessed to personally know their passionate educators and respect their commitment to academic excellence. They've hosted me at their esteemed campus, and in turn, we've welcomed two of their own at our teacher institutes. Dr. Robert Alsop, the university president, and Dr. Frieda Braddock, the program director of graduate education, are both cherished members of our Freedom Rider Teacher Network. We love them like family and trust them to humbly serve their students. I know that many of you listeners are fellow educators. The truth is, as teachers, we spend countless hours and our own resources to serve our beloved students, which leaves little room for advancing our own education. Many of you may want or even need that additional certification or that master's degree, but think, how can I afford the time and the cost? If you're looking for a way to advance in your teaching career without putting your career on hold or breaking your piggy bank, Waldorf University's online Master of Education degree is perfect for you. With two concentrations available, either leadership or teaching and learning, the master's program is completely online with terms starting every single month. That way, you can choose what's best for you and your schedule while continuing to engage, enlighten, and empower your students. To learn more about Waldorf University's Master of Education program, simply go to waldorf.edu/freedomriders or click on the link in this episode's show notes.
So, Shanette, can you speak to this idea of discovering hope and healing through storytelling? Nearly all the Freedom Rider stories revolve around that central theme, and it's kind of like a ripple effect, sort of lighting the path for those who read your stories after. Where does that come from, and why is it important to you?
My mom used to always tell us you don't have to physically go through something to learn from it. So hopefully, from what we wrote, someone else can actually read it and say, that sounds so similar, maybe I can learn from what I just read. And if they do that, they'll get a better outcome, or at least a different outcome, and they don't have to go through the whole healing process of the whole traumatic event. And then, in other terms, if they did go through it, they'll also know that they're not the only one that did. And sometimes just knowing that eases a lot of the pain of feeling alone.
It was incredibly difficult because these stories, they really dig deep. They really go into this fine detail. And once you go in there with them, God, it hurts, you know? It hurts so much because you love these people and there isn't really anything you could do. But there is something you could do, you know? We are doing something by listening, by being there for people, by giving somebody a platform and then a hug afterwards. We're doing as much as we can. You know, and then hopefully it just gets a little bit easier and easier until they get to a better place. We always say that like once you put words on paper, they become real and they're out there. Anytime we have any kind of issues or problems or anything that we're going through, it's important not to bottle it up, not to keep it inside, not to try to take on the whole world by yourselves. It's okay to ask for help as long as you're there to help them as well when they need it.
Every single one that sat down and committed to the finality of this project, I'm going to stick it through. I want to go to the finish line. Because with my pain will come someone's purpose. With my growth, someone else can grow themselves. So I love that we were as vulnerable now, 20 years later, as we were then in room 203.
Even though Freedom Riders were committed to being vulnerable, the implications of confronting their pain were starting to become real.
A part of me wanted to erase it. But even if I erased it off the paper or burned it or ripped it up, it didn't take it out of my heart. So to process and transition that into words on a page and then to reread my own life, the part of my life that I suppressed for so long, was probably the hardest thing.
Shanette's one of the freedom writers who wishes for her diary entry to remain anonymous, just like it was for the first edition of the book. But there came a time in that room during the editing process where she stood up to read her story aloud. She stepped to the front of the room, paper in hand, and she couldn't bring herself to speak. When someone offered to help read her story for her, she realized that'd somehow be even more difficult to bear.
I didn't even want nobody else to hold the paper with it. It's weird to say. I'm just gonna hand you me on a page and like, I think I'm good. And then I realize I'm not. And I just want to be good. Like, I just can't wait for that day where I wake up and I'm actually good. I know it's coming.
I sit down with another freedom writer, Ty, and ask him what emotions he was feeling as he started writing his story.
First off, fear. Fear that the walls that I built up over the years to protect myself from the pain that I felt were going to come crashing down, and I wasn't too sure how I was going to handle that. I mean, it's all fine and dandy when you're just talking about it, but to relive it so vividly, it was something I was afraid of, but I needed to approach that fear and just step on through. After I deployed in Iraq in 2003, I was diagnosed with PTSD. So I was forced to confront the things of my past because my therapist pretty much said that I was susceptible to PTSD and that what I experienced in combat aggravated what was already present. Now to me, it was confusing because I didn't realize how much of that wall I built up to the point where I'm speaking on it, but it wasn't really touching me. And my therapist forced me to confront that. So much that I just wanted to run away from it. Coming to the Institutes and being able to speak on it gave me the strength I needed to actually confront my past. I felt I was ready, and I felt that I was finally not afraid anymore to write it down and get my truth out there and finally trying to fix things with my father, because I'm a father myself. And how can I teach my son how to love if I can't let go of the hate that I have first?
I had the privilege of speaking with Ty's son on the phone.
I'm Brandon, and my father is an original freedom writer. His name is Tyron Leggins. You know, he teaches me a lot to just like make my own good habits and set an example for other people, be a leader like he is. I've been going to the freedom writer events and all that since I was younger, and I think it's really cool. I watched the movie a few times, and I've read the book two times. I find it really inspirational. Read his parts of the book. Learn some of his stories. I had to read it a couple times. I mean, it is a really deep story.
When I first wrote down my new entry to the journal, it took a lot of soul searching. Like, I had to go back to that confrontation me and my father had. And at that point, I still felt a lot of hate and hurt, and the fact that none of my past with him was ever addressed. When you're trying to heal, that can wreak havoc on your process. So I needed to speak to him. And he asked me, what did I do to cause you to hate me so much? And I told him I'd like to know the same thing. Because you abused me. I never felt love. You turned me and my sister against each other. And I wanted to know why. Why he abused me. Why he abused women in front of me. I just needed answers. And I needed to know, what was going through your mind. So he kind of hesitated on answering anything, but I could see the pain welling up in his eyes. He admitted to a lot of things, but some things we're still trying to work on. So it's not perfect, but it was a starting point for me. And the writing process, I had to relive all of that again. And I don't know what it was, when I had to read it out loud, oh my God, that hurt so bad. Miss Jean, she told us that it was gonna be painful, but I really didn't believe it. But it hurt. You know, all my tears and my heartache and my pain, I put it there. And I had to really, really confront it because I'm saying it out loud. I'm not just writing it anymore. And I wasn't saying it to myself, I was saying it to someone else. And I thought about the pain I felt, reliving that. And I think about the pain that my son is going through because his mother really isn't in his life. Every day I was trying to tell him that there's a way out of this, but I can't really show him the way if I don't try it myself. So it meant so much to document that, to get that out there. And I need my son to see that you can heal and that the pain that you went through is not permanent, and that there's a way out. And he sees how I'm growing from my experience, and it's given him hope too.
To know that he went through that stuff, you know, it just amazes me. I'm proud because it takes some strength to talk about those situations. I think it's really brave of him to do that. Him trying to forgive and rebuild this family. I think he's worked really hard to make sure he doesn't repeat that cycle. The fact that he can set his own path and be a role model and, you know, try to be a better father than his father was to him. I'm proud to have a dad like that.
I'm very proud of all of us. I've never thought that I will be writing my own story again in the 20th anniversary edition.
This is Maddie. She and her husband, fellow freedom writer Narada, had a very unique experience together during the writing process.
It took a lot of courage for all of us, whatever topic we may write about, just to relive some of the things that we wanted to share, just to not only help ourselves, but help those who are going through or have been through the same situation. So for me, I'm nervous, but I'm also very proud to have taken the courage to share something that I never told anyone.
You know, Miss Girl has the whiteboard. We're planning it out. Everybody, you know, subjects we kind of wanted to tackle and all that. And, you know, imagine it's the Lion Game and somebody asks a question and you decide if you're going to go to that line or not.
I knew my topic was going to be what it was going to be. There was no other topic that I wanted to write about because I needed to get it out, to write it down so I can start my healing process.
I think in this process, she could have stood on the sidelines, but she stepped up and was like, okay, I can tell this story.
What I wrote was about depression and suicide. And depression is not something that you just turn off in 24 hours. It's an ongoing issue for me. I was in a deep depression at one point in my life, which made me want to not be here anymore. So that's what I share. I take the reader through how I was feeling at that time and why I did it, how I attempted it, and then to the point to where I realized this is not what I need to do, and then I did not go through with it.
The minute she said it, you know, everybody's gasping like, wow, we didn't know. You know, I'm getting it double because, you know, I've known this person for 20 something years. Together for 15, married for 14, two kids together. So here I am thinking, I know this person, I know everything. And then she hits me with this and it became more of a, okay, this isn't about what you want. This is about her. You have to handle this with sensitivity. When I say handle it, I mean as far as how to understand, you know, understanding her mindset in the situation. You know, it turns into, well, how can I help?
He was like, I didn't even know. I said, yeah, this is something that I never told anyone. It was something I always internalized. I always kept it locked in, which was unhealthy, but I was just never brave enough to share that part of me with the world or with anyone for that matter. It's embarrassing for me to tell anyone. Even though that is my husband, I still was very embarrassed. But at the same time, I think that he needed to know, because if it's something that I'm going through, he can help me through it. And then also, I don't want it to affect our children. So if he knows, well, mom is having a bad day, he can step in and kind of take over for me. So I'm glad I did tell him.
When she said she was going to write it, it was like a mission. To see her late nights working on the story, every 10, 15 minutes she had another line or she had something else that she was writing. She just told me how she felt at the time, and I understood where she was at mentally and how she felt about things by talking to her. And a lot of it was a discovery for me, big time. You know, you start thinking like, damn, dude, like if something happened, I couldn't cope. If she was still in that mindset or ever thought about that, to go there again, now she's moved past that and she got to see the other side of the struggle and knows that it's not always going to be like that. I believe a big part of her wanting to tell this story was she wants to pass that on to somebody that needs it. You know, to the bullied kid that's at school and they just up and take their lives because everybody doesn't understand what's going on and they don't let them in. Here's one story right here where somebody actually tried to attempt it and actually came out on the other side and had a better life because they decided to stay around. Somebody can relate to that. I'm super proud that she did it. The fact that it was so important for her to get it done and to get it right, the grit, the gut to go after it. This is just so cool to witness. I'm just waiting to see the beauty that comes from it. We were holding the copy of the 20th in our hands, and I'm telling her, it's like, dude, watch the, your story's gonna save a life. It's gonna save lives.
I really, really hope my story will really help heal the reader or the reader's family member. It encourages them to keep on persevering. It's not easy. It definitely, I can sit here today and tell you it is not easy. But if you believe in anything, if you believe in God or whatever you believe in, hold on to your faith. Just continue to try to find light in every day. When you wake up, every day is a blessing. Wake up expecting great things. Just try to find the positivity in everything. And you know, like I said, depression is something that you just can't turn off and on. It's something that you fight internally all the time. But if you stay positive and, you know, you say, hey, you're not going to defeat me, then you can get through it.
When we first set out to learn about the Freedom Riders, I knew that we would go deep and broach some of the most sensitive topics. But even so, the more I listen to these heartfelt, authentic storytellers, I am in awe at their strength, their courage, their love, and their light. They've already brought so much hope to people's lives since their book was first published and this movement began. 20 years later, they're still here, still striving to serve and uplift in all they do. They truly have taken the mantle of their noble namesake, the Freedom Riders of the 1960s. And I know they'll continue to spread hope for many more years to come.
I think that the transparency that the writers have for the 20th, these were all real stories. And just for the reader to know that with these real stories, you know, you're going to see a piece of yourself in these stories somehow, some way. These stories in the beginning were made to show this is what we go through and to resonate with other people out there in the world. I think these additional 20 stories keep that going. You're going to see yourself or the child you teach or the son or daughter you raised, and maybe you don't have the answers to help them. Maybe you find the answers in these stories, in these writings of how somebody has gone through that and how they've gotten over it. You can go through something or still deal with something, but you can find the beauty that's in the pain or whatever you go through. The pain that you go through doesn't have to define who you are. At the end of the day, that's what these stories are, is to help one another, to be better, and to get through situations and inspire lives.
When we were going through those things in our teenage years, we would always hear from adults that, well, you know, your life's not that hard. You're just a teenager. How bad could it be? But to be able to speak on what we went through, the kids that are going through the things that we went through in our youth, I want them to read that and know that they have an outlet. We didn't have that back then. We didn't really know how to deal with it, so we just kept secrets. And to know that there are so many others that went through that, they're not alone. And that seeing the transition from our teenage years to where we are in the 20th anniversary edition shows how much we've grown and that there is a way out. There is light at the end of that proverbial tunnel.
Now that I wrote it down and made the words real and somebody else can actually see what I wrote and what I've been through, it's definitely the closure. I no longer have to look at that situation and it doesn't define me anymore. Maybe the steps that I've taken to better myself can be the same steps you use as well.
From the original to the 10th and now to the 20th, hope has always been our main engine to get us through all of it. I don't think anyone will ever not want hope. So if you didn't believe in it before, you should believe in it now, because really that's our fuel to actually change the future. And as long as we hope to always change the future, we'll always have gas to keep going. So I just know that if someone can read it, it might help them. And if that's the case, it's all worth it. To give someone else the words that they probably can't come up with right now, because eventually one day they will have their own words to fill in those blanks. But for right now, they can borrow mine.
With those wounds, those licks, those scars, those bruises, they have built the foundation of their future. They've become healers. They have learned to become whole. They have learned to hold up a light and be the mirror that reflects it. And they're able to find other folks who read their stories, hear their stories, are moved by their stories, who are also wounded, to be relieved that at some point they too can be healed. At some point they too could be a wounded healer. At some point they too can help one help another.
So how do the Freedom Riders support each other? They're sincere listeners. And how can we learn from their experiences to conquer our own demons? It'll certainly be a lifelong pursuit for all of us. But I know we'll be in the best company with these exceptional examples of humility and hope. Like the Freedom Riders, we can share our stories, we can heal, and we too can become the mirror that reflects light. The more time we spend with them, the more clearly we can identify the elements of their profound legacy. Acceptance for all, unconditional love, and an unshakable faith in the power of the written word to heal hearts. In a world filled with walls, Aaron and the Freedom Riders are building bridges. Now, how are they passing on this legacy to the rising generation and ensuring this light never falters or fades away? That concludes episode 4 of Freedom Rider 2020, a special mini-series on the Freedom Riders podcast celebrating 20 years of the Freedom Riders Diary. On behalf of Aaron Gruel and the Freedom Riders, I want to thank each of you for listening. If you're enjoying the show so far, we hope you'll share it with someone you know and love. Remember to get your new copy of the 20th anniversary edition of the Freedom Riders Diary. Also, don't forget to sign up for our limited time Freedom Riders Diary giveaway. From now until September 12th, you can follow the link in this episode's show notes for a chance to win one of 20 free signed copies of the book. Most importantly, if any of the stories that were shared on this episode personally resonated with you, we encourage you to seek help and remember that you are not alone. Please reach out and talk to a trusted friend, a family member, or a mental health professional. If you need or want any additional support, we've included links to important resources in this episode's show notes, including the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. There are many loving hands and hearts to support you. You matter, and the world needs your story too. This episode was executive produced by Aaron Gruel, co-produced by Rob Falk, and written, produced, and edited by me, your host, Bryce Cyrier. Remember to stay tuned for our final installment of Freedom Rider 2020, available tomorrow morning, September 7th. In the meantime, dear listeners, may you write what needs to be written and tell what needs to be told.